I'm away from L.A. back to Knoxville.
Optimism Tuesdays. We start hour three.
What, you don't like this song?
Yeah, it's a great song.
I clicked the wrong folder, and I was like, Smoky Mountain Rain? I was like, hell yeah.
It's a good one.
1997 LSU's number five, Chris.
That's
the team that hit all the home runs, you know, with the hot bats. 188.
Could you imagine if we had those bats?
Oh, yeah. It'd be insane.
Wouldn't be enough baseballs.
Yeah. 73, USC. Yeah, I don't know. 77, Arizona State. Whatever.
Yeah.
So, anyway, those are the teams.
That's who we're chasing, huh?
That's who we're chasing. Win the natty, then argue about it. It'll be fine.
If we win the natty, it's over. No debate. In my opinion.
What if we sweep Mississippi State? What's our SEC record going to be? We're not going to catch that Vanderbilt team now, right?
Nah.
25-5. They had three losses, right?
Yeah, but
they were 20.
They played one less game. They played 29 games. They're like 26-3.
Yeah, 26-3. So we'd be 25-5 with a sweep over Vanderbilt.
See, I don't even think it matters anymore because I think even if you finish out the season strong and go win the national championship and win, obviously, most of your games through that whole stretch, people on one of these teams will still be able to come up with some argument on why you're not as good.
Sure, yeah.
So it doesn't really matter.
It matters to me, and we will be the best team of all time.
Right.
And they can say whatever they want, but I'm going to be right.
But it'd be very hard. I don't know, maybe not very hard. It would be a good problem to have, in my opinion, if we falter so much down the stretch here and still win the national championship. I mean, I would settle for that, you know?
Oh, you'd be okay with...
I think I would, like, take it.
Kind of laying an egg in Hoover, losing a series to Mississippi State, but still winning.
But still winning the national
championship. You'd be okay with that?
I think I'd settle. Call me crazy, but I think that would be okay.
Yeah, I think that most people would probably sign up for that.
Yeah.
If you could guarantee them the natty. Even if we didn't have the best record of all time, the best
deal.
Yeah, I think they'd be okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think. Hickman, would you take that? Would you take a little falter down the stretch if you could guarantee yourself a natty?
I would go 0-4 the rest of the regular season. I would lose every game in Hoover and
lose the max on your way to winning a championship if you won a national championship.
I mean,
Yeah, I think I'd sign up for that, too. It's a good point, Nate. Tough question, though.
only the hardest hitting questions here on 3 and Out.
Yes.
Belmont tonight. I mean, maybe this is good practice because this is the type of team that you're going to play in a regional, right? A team that you're better than, but a team that's had a good year, right? A team that's going to have confidence.
Yeah.
You know, that four seed you're going to play in the first round is going to project kind of this way, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be hot, right? They're going to have played well lately to get in the NCAA tournament. So it's a good tune-up game. Belmont tonight, 6. The weekend series at Mississippi State is 7 o'clock Thursday, 7 o'clock Friday, 3 o'clock on Saturday. So a little later on Saturday start than we've been going. I guess because it's 2 o'clock Central Time.
Yeah.
Any concern that we're playing the Tuesday and then have to travel for the Thursday?
I don't love it, especially with all these other teams who don't have.
Yeah, aren't even playing
like,
this game.
Does Mississippi State have a game tonight? They're getting another break? Please do that. Even though we're in a slump, air quote.
Are we in a slump, though?
Well, that's why I was going to throw air quotes around slump.
All right.
Some stats for you, Nate.
Okay.
Team pitching. Whip, 0.95, first in the country. Walks allowed per nine, 2.46, first in the country. Strikeouts. First in the country, 4.47. All right, I think that's strikeouts to walks. Strikeouts through nine innings. Average 11, that's tied for fourth. But you don't have to strike people out if you can get into hitting the ground balls. Shutouts. This team has 7 shutouts on the season. That's tied for third. Hits per 9 innings, 6.09 hits. That's first.
Mm-hmm.
Team ERA, 2.36, which is still ridiculous. First. Batting. Walks, 314. That's third. Home runs, 120. 120. First. On base percentage, 421. That's seventh in the country. Runs, 467. That's fourth. Runs per game, 9. That's 8th best in the country. Slugging percentage, .598. 598 on the slugging percentage. That's first. This doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Has any team ever been like the best pitching team of all time and the best hitting team of all time?
Now, that's a great question. And that might be where you could win the argument if you...
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Did you find if Mississippi State has a game tonight?
They do.
Who are they playing?
They are playing North Alabama. 6 o'clock start. Tickets,
$5. $5.
Those are like, yeah, tickets from like the little secondary.
I think you can get into Lindsey Nelson tonight for 50 if you're interested. $5? I know it's a big park, but still. I thought Mississippi State fans love their base. They've lost. Have they lost 9 in a row, though?
It's been bad. Last weekend, they were swept by A&M 8-7, 9-6, and 8-2. They lost their midweek game against Sanford before that. Ooh. And they were swept by Florida before that, 8-6, 9-3, and 6-2. Are those almost the exact same scores? They lost to Missouri 2 out of 3.
That's bad.
The series before that.
They stink.
They did win the series. The last series they won was it was April 22nd through the 26th against Ole Miss. Actually, they didn't even win that series. They played 4 games.
Yeah, I remember that one. That one was weird. It took 2 out of 4, right?
So, yeah, I guess they technically won the series and then lost the midweek non-conference game against Ole Miss. It was like back at home or something. They did win a series against Auburn before that. LSU swept them. Arkansas won 2 out of 3 against Mississippi State. They did win the series against Alabama. They lost the series 2-3 to Georgia. And that's the extent of their SEC schedule.
And what's their record right now?
Their record is 25-27 overall, 9-18 in conference play. They're 17-11 at home. They've lost their last 9. They're due.
What are you doing? Don't say that. We're due.
Better come out blazing.
We haven't swept a series in a while. I think we're due.
Okay. I like that.
Been what, 3 weeks?
Something like that. Been too long. Florida, right? Wasn't that the last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta pick up the pace.
They weren't even good to start the year. I mean, Tulane.
No, they were bad.
Against them.
They were bad. So weird. I mean, like, legitimately, people are talking about this team being in a slump.
Well, I was going to read. Shane said, I think some of what we are calling a slump is because this team is so good that as soon as we got close to clinching, Vitello felt he could start tweaking things a little to start preparing for the tournaments.
And he has been doing that. He's been doing some different. I mean, he started messing with, not to say messing with, and that has kind of a negative connotation, but he's been changing up the starters, right? Instead of giving Burns the start, he brings him in relief. Same with Beam. Like, he's just, you know, he's mixing it up a little bit. And some guys just can't throw out of the pen. Some guys have their whole routine, and that's just, you know, they're a starting pitcher, and that's what they got to do.
I thought when we were giving those guys off, like, they weren't going to pitch at all. Like, we were giving them off.
No, and then we'd give them, what, like an inning or two?
We did that with
six batters.
Burns and Beam.
I guess that's like a fourth of a day at work, you know? Like, I'm going to go to a meeting early in the morning, and I'm going home. It's Friday.
Play golf, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Come back with more. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Welcome back. Hour three continues. This segment brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Make your appointment. Go see Drs. Malone or Costa. They got you covered right here in Knoxville. Easy to get to, Cedar Bluff area, and they'll take great care of you. Lots of people go over there and tell us how wonderful the staff is and the dentist as well. Take care of your teeth with Knoxville Smiles. Make your appointment at KnoxvilleSmiles.com.
I'm studying the NFL FPI so that I can get a game right in NFL Eliminator this year.
I thought we canceled the FPI.
For college.
Okay.
Not for the NFL. I need any possible rating I can get.
That was your problem, man. You thought about it too much.
I really didn't, Hickman. I took the biggest favorite of the week every time.
Exactly. But sometimes you just got to go with common sense. Go with your gut.
The Bills losing to the Jags is beyond common sense. Like, you would never, ever pick the Jags. You pick the Bills. Josh Allen. The other one. The good one. The guy who sacked Josh Allen, recovered a fumble, and intercepted Josh Allen. The Bills are the number one team, according to the FPI, Nate.
Okay.
Do you want to take a guess at who's two?
Buccaneers.
Rams. No.
Huh.
I'm kind of surprised by this.
Chiefs.
No.
Bengals?
No. Bengals are
Packers.
It is the Packers.
That's just stupidity. That's cancel the damn FPI.
I have a feeling it's because the quarterback of the Packers is someone you don't really care for. Is that right?
Yeah, it's just absurd. The Packers suck. They do this every year. Let's hype them up and watch them fail in the regular season,
right?
Or the postseason. Right. You don't even have any weapons this year.
It sounded like you were an attorney cross-examining Adam. This is your vehicle in this picture. Am I right?
is this correct? Rams come in third. Chiefs, four. Buccaneers all the way down at five.
Oh, the horror. They still got the best quarterback the planet Earth
has ever
seen.
How about the Cowboys at six?
That's bad.
At six?
That Why? Doesn't that doesn't make any sense to
Why?
Me.
Why?
Hmm.
Where are the Titans?
17.
Whoa.
They have a plus 0.9 on the FPI. The Bills, for example, are plus 9.4. The Titans are the last team with a positive score. After that, you go Eagles, Saints, Commanders, Dolphins, Giants. Then, of course, the scum of the league. The Lions are actually up to 23, though. Not too bad. 49ers are 24? Did they lose a lot?
Not really.
I don't know. It's kind of weird. Had a pretty good run last year.
And Debo, he might be trapped there.
Who do you think is the worst team in the league?
Jags.
According to... No, it's not the Jags, actually.
Jets.
Second to worst.
Who?
Bears.
Bears. I never would have.
Yeah, I saw a video. Somebody said that they have the highest odds to maybe go winless.
According to the FPI, that is correct.
Huh.
There's no way.
Broncos with Russell Wilson. Let's see. According to the FPI, the Chargers have the best chance to win the AFC West at 29%. I'm going to scroll a little bit here. Wait, is that really it? They just give it for the... Okay, never mind. This is stupid. Bad article. It's my bad.
Okay.
Whoa. This does say that the Colts, now with Matt Ryan, have a 50% chance to win the AFC South. Does that add up? Are the Titans going to be that bad?
You wouldn't think
so. Because they lost A.J. Brown. I mean, A.J. Brown was good, but they got the number one seed last year, and they were the most banged up team in the history of football.
I mean, I kind of thought the Titans could just fall to bed and win the division, but
I mean, does Matt Ryan scare you as a Colt?
A little more than Carson Wentz, but not. Not really. Yeah, I mean, it's the same type of player. Kind of washed, trying to reinvigorate their career.
Did you see the drama with Drew Brees the other day?
No, I don't think so.
I guess there's some speculation that he's not going to be back with NBC.
Yeah.
Because he apparently, what's the nice way to put this? He just wasn't very good in the booth. I believe he called a Notre Dame game with Tirico, and the reports from the Notre Dame contingent were that he basically didn't prep at all.
Oh.
And I was listening to the morning show with Brady Quinn. He said, you know, he does some games for Fox. LeVar Arrington, I think, has done some games for Fox. And Brady Quinn compared it to when you prep for a game as a commentator, you almost need to do it the same way you would as if you were the quarterback, prepping for, like, mm-hmm. your game plan.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to use 10% of it, but you better have it. Otherwise, right. you're going to look like an idiot.
Yeah.
And apparently, Drew Brees looked like an idiot. And so now there's some speculation about what he may do next year. He even mentioned in a tweet that he may play football again.
No shot. He can't throw a ball the length of this room.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. Do you remember how bad he looked?
Like, yeah. No.
His last year? Not... He also said he may train for a pickleball tour, senior golf tour, or coach his kids.
Coach your kids, man.
I feel like
I think this is all in jest, but I just don't understand why he's so upset. Everyone's probably upset after they saw the deal that Brady got. Probably thinks he's worth a lot more.
Yeah. I feel like all these older quarterbacks, they know in their mind where the ball should go, but like they kind of forget that their arm couldn't get it there the mm-hmm. last time they played, you know?
Yeah. Whew. I have no doubt that he has the mental part down, right? I mean,
yeah. But I think that only gets better. And I think part of it is probably peak mental ability of just a human being is, you know, about what, 8 or 9 years past
physical prime
peak arm talent NFL guy, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like you get 4 or 5 years past where like you can't really throw the ball where you need to throw it anymore. And you're like, man, I can still play. I still see it. You know, I still know where it's just different.
He should not play again. That would be a huge mistake.
I think so too. Did you see the Astros pitcher just like tear his leg up just trying to run first?
No.
Yeah, just threw a pitch, went to cover first, went down a heap, had to be stretchered off. Apparently, like, broke his ankle or something.
Really?
It's so weird. What is going on?
Karma.
Oh, you think so?
I don't know. I shouldn't say that about him.
He was on that team.
Yeah, I was going to say. He wasn't on the team.
I don't know.
Tweet from Brett sends this in. A tweet from Nathan McKinnon. What do you think about this, Nate? Titans players are, quote, clamoring for Malik Willis to start. One source close to the team explained the situation as follows. The locker room has never believed in Tannehill. They believe Mariota should have gotten the start back in 2019. They were never sold on Ryan Tannehill.
I can buy that last part a little more than I can buy the...
Clamoring?
Are they clamoring for Malik Willis just because they don't like Tannehill? And
I think so.
It's a little early to know how good Malik Willis is going to be.
I mean, he's been through what, like two mini camps?
Yeah. Like, I just...
Yeah, it seems like this is a we don't really like Ryan Tannehill. And yeah. He probably didn't do himself any favors when he said, you know, I'm not gonna mentor the guy. That's not my job.
We never really got into that.
No, we really didn't. What are your thoughts on that? Couldn't you just not say that? Even if you don't want to be the guy that's like all holding his hand and teaching him and all that. Like, I kind of get that. It is your job. You don't want to teach, you know, train the guy that's going to try to beat you and ultimately probably will. But don't you just have to not say that's not my job?
Yeah, it isn't his job to like be his coach. So I guess it just depends on perspective, right? But it's also not your job to say that publicly and create locker room dissent,
which apparently now has the players in the locker room clamoring for Malik Willis.
Malik Willis said, "We're cool, no big deal." Basically,
that's all he said is, "We're cool." Okay.
Willis said, "We chopped it up. It was never anything negative. Ryan's a good dude. Everything is cool. He had us over to the house the other day and gave us a little bit of game regarding what comes with this process.
That sounds like he's mentoring a little bit.
Titans coach Mike Vrabel also praised Tannehill's leadership and made clear that being a mentor wasn't, quote, his job.
What's Tom Brady's stance on mentor? Didn't he have Jimmy Garoppolo shipped out?
Yeah, he's...
So, yeah.
Well, it worked out well for him. So.
Peyton Manning's the same way.
Peyton Manning used to lock guys out of the film room.
In college.
In college, yeah. But that he was also the younger guy at that point. Like, what was the deal with Favre and Aaron Rodgers? Was there a big... Were they buddy... I mean, they're friends now, I guess. But was Favre just holding his hand and teaching him everything?
Probably not. You don't need to be mentored. You just... I mean, just being around guys like that and just... watching their routine,
yeah,
how they like handle things. Like you'll learn if you just watch.
The whole quote by Tannehill is fine.
I know.
Blown out of proportion.
Of course it was, because you got to cut the snippet and tweet it and then make it a big deal.
He said, I don't think it's my job to mentor him, but if he learns from me along the way, then that's a great thing. And that's just the second part. First part was, that's part of being in the quarterback room, in the same room. We're competing against each other. We're watching the same tape. We're doing the same drills. I don't think it's my job to mentor him, but if he learns from me along the way, then that's a great thing. Like, that's
not a big deal.
No.
Tannehill's got 1 year left, and that era will be over.
It might not even have a year left. Not as a starter. The players are clamoring for Malik Willis.
And 8 months ago, Titans fans were trying to convince you that he was just as good as Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Statistically, he was close, but you can just watch him play and never.
Small sample size, too. Like, you can't do that. Remember when that Auburn quarterback had, like, two great games in the season and then came out through, like, five picks a game?
Max Johnson?
No.
Finley?
Jeremy Johnson?
Jeremy Johnson. Yeah, that was it.
He just doesn't have that extra gear that the good ones have.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He's had some really good games, and a lot of them have been when you kind of least expected it. But you can just watch him throw and make the reads and stuff, and he's just, you know, he's a good –
game manager.
There you go. Yeah, I think he's a game manager, maybe slightly above average.
When you give him some weapons.
Quarterback. Yeah, that's the thing with Tannehill, I think, is he needs a lot of help.
Jeremy Johnson. 2013, 29 of 41, 422, 6 touchdowns, 2 picks. And he came in the next year, a little mop-up dude, 28 of 37, 436, 3
Heisman.
Touchdowns, no picks, QB rating of 201.4.
Lord.
Started 2015 and... 95 of 157, 1,000 yards passing, but 10 touchdowns and 7 picks. Heisman favorite.
That was Gus Bus, right?
I'm trying to remember. He was behind Nick Marshall his freshman year.
That would have been Chizik then, wouldn't it? Started with Chizik, finished with Gus.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he went 12 of 16 for 243 and 2 touchdowns in 1 half while Marshall was serving a suspension.
That was it.
Then he just came in cleanup duty after that. And then he became the shoe-in starter after that. And the hype going into the 2015 season that's when it got crazy.
And then he flamed.
Then he threw a bunch of picks to start the season.
Can't do it.
And after game 3, Sean White was declared the star. And then I think White was bad too, and then Johnson came back. They were terrible that year, I think.
Yeah, they were bad.
We'll come back. More Hour 3 next. Hour 3 continues here, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan and Radio. The NIL Hourglass, keeps dropping sand. The logo turns as the NCAA twist in the wind. What did Nick Saban say?
This guy, he's he might have just stepped in it pretty good, Nate. Not going to lie. Apparently, he was on Paul Feinbaum either. I guess it had to be yesterday. He said, if we're going to promise players that we're going to create name, image, and likeness, it's going to create problems in the locker room unless everybody gets the same thing, which is the model we're going to have. As coaches, the way I feel about it is we're there to create a platform for our players to be successful, and you create value for their future. Whether you develop a career off the field or whether they have a chance to go to the NFL someday and have a great career there, that's what we want to stay focused on, not how much money a guy's going to make while he's going to college. And I think that's the part that we all have to get our heads together on and say what's best for the game. Communism?
Yeah. Best for the game.
Feinbaum immediately fires back and says, do you think that vision would be enough for everyone, or whether some players might want more from their college careers and opt to leave? Saban said, there will be some people that it won't be, but I would rather get the guys in our program that's what they're interested in.
Yeah.
They have goals and aspirations for what they want to do. Look, when you go to college, college is a destination where you're trying to prepare yourself for the day you can't play football. Yeah. So that's the number one purpose. If you can develop a career on the field while you're doing that, that's great. That's what we'd love for our players to be able to do. So we want to stay focused on that. We want the quality of life for our players to be equal, and we're going to make it that way in terms of what we do so it's fair for everybody. And every player can go earn whatever they can earn because that's what name, image, and likeness was supposed to be all about. What? So is he saying, go earn whatever you can, but then I'm going to take it
and give it to some other guys?
Nate, if a which Alabama says they don't have collectives, I find that to be absolutely ridiculous. But if someone says, Nate, you're a five-star quarterback, we think you can earn $8 million, and then you go to Alabama, and Nick Saban says, nope.
$50,000. I'm taking the rest of it and passing it out to your linemen and the receivers.
And the backup running back. And
yeah, your backup quarterback.
The walk-on running back. What?
I don't know.
Is NIL going to finally be what tanks Nick Saban?
Maybe.
I'm sorry, real quick. Does he make more money than Josh Heupel?
Yeah.
He does, right? Does he make more than, I don't know, Mark Stoops, Dabo Swinney, Lincoln Riley? I mean, he's the highest paid. Like, what's he doing?
If anybody can survive NIL with this mindset, though, it is Nick Saban.
That's an interesting point. I mean, I have a hard time doubting the guy, but does this not kill him in recruiting? Unless the rules change, earn whatever you can, but we're going to pay everyone equally with the money that comes in. Is that even legal? Can he do that?
That's what I was wondering. I don't know how the rules would even allow it, because you're not allowed to pay the players based on their play. You can't pay them for their play. So how can I take money away from money that was for one kid and give it to another kid?
Right.
Because, I mean, you're literally paying him for being on the Alabama football team. That doesn't even make any sense.
Not at all.
Unless he's just saying in a perfect world, this is how it would work, but I can't do that right now. I mean, that would at least make sense, you know, legalistically, I guess.
Fascinating. Did you see that Mark Emmert made more money in 2020 than he did in 2019, even after taking the pandemic pay cut?
How'd that work out?
Despite taking a 20% pay cut during a portion of 2020 because of financial concerns connected to the pandemic that included the cancellation of the NCAA tournament, President Mark Emmert's total compensation for the year increased by just over $80,000. Apparently, due to his contract, he took the compensation, lowered it. But then, due to his contract, he was due a raise of, whatever percentage. So, he took the pay cut.
That's what a lot of people did.
And then gave himself
and
a raise.
An extension in the middle of the night, kind of like Philip Fulmer did.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Basically, that sounds right.
Well, I thought this was kind of that pushback we wanted to see. Washington Post has an article, Miami's billionaire booster defends his big-dollar NIL deals. This is John H. Ruiz, who we've talked about before, billionaire entrepreneur, and he's a lawyer. He pledged to spend at least $10 million on athletes he believes can help promote his business.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's more than halfway to his goal. He's got more than 100 athletes, most of whom play football, baseball, or basketball for Miami. Life Wallet does most of the deals. Roughly $5 million in NIL deals are with Life Wallet. $300,000 to $400,000 are with Cigarette Racing, his other company.
Mm-hmm.
He has said he's following all the rules. He said, quote, "It seems to me it's in disarray," adding that he's offered to consult with the NCAA on remedies. "I just don't think the people that were putting out NIL deals together really thought through the real purpose."
Yeah, they did. Recruiting.
He insists he is doing so in full compliance with NCAA rules, namely that he is not using NIL deals to coax recruits or transfers, nor is he simply handing out cash without requiring athletes to perform a specific job or service in exchange. He said, quote, "I have zero concern of an NCAA investigation. If they speak to the players, which they're welcome to do, they're going to see that I've never enticed a player or done anything like that. And if they speak to the agents, I have zero concerns." He announced via Twitter, this is where the controversy came in. He announced via Twitter on April 23rd that Kansas State guard Nigel Pack was transferring to Miami, adding, quote, "The biggest Life Wallet deal to date, 2 years, $800,000 total at $400,000 per year, plus a car. Congratulations." Soon after Miami.
But that wasn't coaxing him to come to Miami?
Wait, listen to you hear his explanation. He said, "Soon after Miami's Isaiah Wong threatened via his agent to transfer unless his $400,000 NIL deal with Ruiz was increased, given his contribution to the Hurricane's success in the NCAA tournament. Ruiz resolved the dispute with minimal fanfare." He said, quote, "I just spoke frankly to the agent, spoke frankly to the family. Look, I don't think this is the way to go about it," Ruiz recounted. "I said, we have a deal. It's in writing. Every deal has its value for our company, and we determine that. You're not going to get any more money. That's just the way that works." The controversy followed the highly publicized transfer to Miami of Fresno State standout women's basketball players, twins Hannah and Haley Cavender, who also signed NIL deals with Ruiz. From the outset, the chief concern of athletic administrators was
that NIL deals
would be used as recruiting inducements, flouting the NCAA's longstanding prohibition on college boosters getting involved with prospective students. It explains, like, you know, what they're trying to. But here's what Ruiz said. Hang on, I gotta skip through some other quotes by. Ruiz insists his deals will withstand any scrutiny. All of his NIL deals are reviewed by Miami's NCAA compliance office, he has said. Moreover, he notes he is not a collective, but a business owner who signs athletes for marketing purposes. He said, "I don't believe in collectives. They are established just to kind of skirt around the rules rather than have legitimate purposes. What we do is legitimate. Arm's length transaction. We get the players to either film a commercial, post either through Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok. Every single situation calls for a different review, different number, different dynamics. The reason we entered into an agreement with the transfer player is because he was the number one player in the transfer portal, and I figured he has a lot of following," Ruiz said. "I've read up on him, but I've never seen him play. I didn't really know his athletic ability. What I was focusing on was the marketing opportunity of being able to capture, as an NIL athlete, the number one player in the portal." He said his decision to publicize the value of the deal accrued more publicity for his business. "We got over 5 million impressions," he said, adding that the national buzz immediately increased Pack's value. "As you move forward, every time he plays this season, he will be measured against the question of whether we, as Life Wallet and Cigarette, are getting their true marketing dollars worth. Was that a good deal or a bad deal?" Ruiz said, "It's a positive for him and a positive for us."
Well, he doesn't know if it's a positive for him yet.
Right.
He'll have to check the numbers.
He's saying that's the question that's going to be asked. He said 90% of his NIL deals are with enrolled students, including some at Florida International, and all deals require work in return, he said. I mean, isn't that all? Well, I don't know how you reconcile the fact that the NCAA said collectives are boosters, but isn't that the key for a group like, you know, Spire, is to just show this document the same stuff? And I'm sure they have. That was the whole point. "A lot of people tie in NIL with athletic ability, but it's not connected at all," Ruiz said. I disagree with that statement. "You can have a really, really good athlete that may very well not be very, very valuable as an NIL contract. Maybe they don't tweet or have Instagram. Maybe they're an introvert. They may not have interest, and that's okay. They still have a place in the ecosystem in sports, but it may not necessarily be on the NIL side.
Hmm.
We have talked about that. I mean, yeah. If you're super popular because your dad's a country music star and you're the backup quarterback for, you know.
You may have more value than a lot of starting quarterbacks. Right. Yeah,
just because of, you know, what you do. But, I mean, it was always going to be this. It was always going to be tied together.
Yeah.
And the better player you are, the more, you know. If Arch Manning was just going to play at App State, he doesn't have the same NIL value as if he's the number one recruit, right? I mean, Heath Shuler's kid isn't as good, right? So that's just, if it was the reverse, it would be the opposite. Mm-hmm. If Heath Shuler was number one, or whatever, Navy Shuler, if he was number one in the country in recruiting, he would have more NIL value than Arch Manning if he was a three-star.
Sure.
So you can't really separate the two, and that's what's kind of ridiculous.
It's kind of funny that he's trying, though.
Well, he's saying all the right things so that he can protect himself.
No, he's wording it the right way, but we all know it's bogus.
Yeah, like they can both be true at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because what he's saying isn't necessarily false, but it's not the whole truth either. Come back, final segment, hour three next. Final segment of this Game Day edition. Score tonight, Chris? What you thinking? Belmont's pretty good.
I was just jumping right in it, huh?
Yeah. It's getting late.
I need to think.
The show's flown by, man.
Hickman, you got a prediction?
They are pretty good.
They are pretty good. So is your boy Cannon.
8-4.
Oh, did he steal your number? So you should have gone first.
I'll come up with a new number.
I hope it. I would pay $100 for it to be 8-4 tonight.
So if it's 8-4, you're going to give me $100?
No, like I.
That's what I heard.
Pay
I,
for it to happen.
Okay, pay me in, and I'll pay you back if it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
What? Huh? I'm confused.
What about you?
You can go 8-4 as well if you want.
I did like the 8-4. I really did.
No, pick something else, man. Come on. If I'm right, I do not want to share the spotlight with you.
Oh, my gosh. But that was my number. That's why I gave you that look right when you said 8-4. I liked the 8-4 pick. I thought it was good. What's your pick over there?
I hope he picks your secondary pick.
I'm going to go 7-3. I think Hickman's close.
I know he's close because that was my damn number.
You can go 9-5. Have it all
covered. I'm going to go 9-3.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right.
One more for us, one fewer for them.
Oh.
It's
I feel like if any of us are right this time, you don't get a ton of credit. One of us should have gone like 15-2.
Now, if I'm right, I get a lot of credit
because I picked you first.
Okay.
But you picked my number.
If he's right,
so if you're
he
right,
gets no credit.
If you're right, I'm also taking credit, but if I'm right on my secondary pick,
this is the most crisp score pick ever.
Absolutely. He stole my number, so I picked a new number. But if the new number's right, I have it to myself. But if he's right on the 8-4, and that was my number, I'm also going to share the spotlight.
If it wasn't Optimism Tuesday, I'd almost pick us to lose at this point.
Why?
Just so that if I'm
you
right.
You always pick us to lose. 2 out of 3. They're going to get 2 out of 3.
So that if I'm right, I just know that I'm nowhere near you guys.
You're such a clown. Why do you hate Tennessee baseball?
I don't.
Why do you never pick them to sweep?
Because I'm motivating them to win. The only time they have lost a series is when I picked them to sweep.
Is that the only sweep you picked?
No, I correctly picked a sweep over Florida.
By the skin of our teeth.
Mm-hmm. Got it done, though.
6 p.m. first pitch?
Yep, nice and early. 7-3. 8-4.
9-3.
9-3. All right. What?
Is he going to mess with the pitching rotation tonight?
Probably. He's probably going to pitch a bunch of people, like you said.
Yeah, but we're...
Sechrist, though?
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to not start Xander Sechrist, correct? Like, Sechrist is getting the first ball.
Who doesn't pitch the weekend?
I don't know. Beam kind of got touched up a little bit. Do you think Beam?
I was just sending Tidwell back to the pen.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hate it. I really wouldn't. Not that I don't like the guy, but that's what makes that part so tough is he's got to kind of, you know. Tidwell was like a high projection. Like, he was going to get drafted pretty high.
Do you go with a four-man rotation in the postseason? So, like, hey, Blake, you're going back to the pen for this final weekend series, but, you know, we're going to basically go 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4 all the way through the. And you'll even be able to, I mean, you could go to Seacrest for long relief if you've got in some weird pinch.
I don't know. That's why they pay him the big bucks.
I have no idea why he started Ben Joyce. We never really talked about that.
No.
Maybe tomorrow we can dive into a little bit.
He looked really
more.
Good through about three innings.
But, like,
looked good until he didn't.
I just don't understand why he needed to start.
Because he's tinkering with stuff. Yeah. That's why I'm not saying he lost the game on purpose. But he was trying, you know, he's mixing it up. What are you laughing at?
Best postseason basketball run we ever had. We were great. Won the district tournament, or won the clinch regular season. Tinker with some stuff. Lost two like non-conference games that didn't matter, and then won every game after that. So
just win it all.
There you go.
Apex Pest Control is your